Next on BYUSN, the Cougars defeat Oklahoma State and solidify their position in the Big 12 tournament as the number 5 seed. How do we feel about the bracket? Plus, assistant coach Cody Feger will join us to look back on BYU's first Big 12 regular season and look ahead to the conference tournament.
Which players were honored among the best of the Big 12? And was anybody snubbed? And the national championship women's distant medley relay team is in the house. How about that? The first national champs from BYU as a Big 12 team.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation on a winning Monday. This is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up alongside a man who knows the appropriate distance between his phone and when he's doing a selfie video, Jerem Jordan.
Yeah, we need to tell Puka about that. So Puka Nacua was in the house on Saturday, and BYU football, I think, handed him a phone and was like, hey, can you do this video? So, yeah, crowd went nuts, by the way, which is pretty cool. Ethan Slade, shout out. Puka's girlfriend, shout out. And then Puka did the following video on social media. It's just a little too close.
Yo, Cougar Nation, it's your boy, Puka Nacua, back here at the Marriott Center. Blessed to be back here on BYU campus. Ain't nothing like it. Go Cougs always, baby.
I love it. It's just
up
right,
close and personal.
It's just right in there, dude. Let's go, man.
But no shame.
Good to have Puka in the house. And the crowd was very excited to see Puka.
Yeah, they gave him, I dare say, an even warmer reception than some of the other VIPs that we've had with Joe Flacco and Dennis Pitta. And, I mean, of course, Zach Wilson. And all these guys have shown up at games with Kyle Van Noy. Like, they all want a piece of BYU basketball.
Puka had the best year.
Puka had, like, he did have all the best year, and he had the best reception as well. Like, that was pretty cool
and
to see.
He's a very likable person.
He has a perma smile. Like, just, he is such an electric personality.
Too blessed to
sure.
be stressed.
His life motto might be something like that,
yes.
Right? Like, that feels like a Puka Nacua.
When you
life
go by
motto.
The name of Puka is Samoan for chubby. It's awesome. He's anything but. That dude's fit as a fiddle, man.
Hey, fantastic stuff. Plenty of reason today on a winning Monday to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
But if BYU is the 5, that'd be tremendous.
Dallin Hall spots an opening, drives it down. BYU's first Big 12 regular season is done. The Cougars finish 10-8 in conference, 22-9 overall, and go to Kansas City as the conference tournament 5 seed.
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. Okay, we all knew BYU was going to win 22 games this year, and they were going to have a winning record in the Big 12.
Totally said that.
We all knew this was going to happen. So here we are, as projected, or not. Holy cow, what a season for BYU. The regular season portion comes to a close after that win against Oklahoma State. It was a little ugly on Saturday night, but it doesn't matter. BYU closed it out.
BYU covered.
They
Spence.
Covered.
It was a sweaty cover
there
at the end.
There was some missed free throws at the end.
Oh, boy.
Questionable technical foul that would have allowed a weird scenario. But as it stands, BYU 10-8. They are the number 5 seed going into Kansas City. Just a wild
BYU
swing
the
of
5
events
seed
this
last
season.
Year.
In the West Coast Conference tournament.
Back-to-back
year. So now 3 years in a row in the conference tournament, BYU will have been the 5 seed.
Who knew that 5 seed would be a lot there? Wow.
What's your reaction to 10-8 in the Big 12 and 22 regular season wins?
Spectacular. Just we've been talking about it all year. Just overachieving. Now it's not overachieving. It's what this team was going to do because they were much better than anyone thought. They developed in an amazing way. Credit to the players and coaches for doing that and everyone on the staff. It was so validating, too, to have BYU start non-conference incredibly and then validate that with a great conference play.
Yeah.
10-8 is truly great, given first year in the Big 12, given how hard this league is. Top 15 in net, Spence, from day one of net in December, got up to number one after starting at number two, top 15. Amazing. Now BYU can focus on these matchups of UCF and Oklahoma State, which we'll get to in a moment. But just the idea of being picked 13th and going 8 spots better, like no one had that kind of jump.
Yeah,
in
not surprisingly, it's going to be tough to beat an 8-spot jump.
No, no one's going to beat that. BYU was tremendous. And this was a great team, and we'll dive into that too, of like BYU did not get, say, the individual honors that maybe in years past they had in terms of first team or second team, all whatever. But this is one of the best teams in the regular season we've ever seen. Now, they could cement their place as one of, if not the best BYU team ever, depending on how they do in the NCAA tournament.
4 wins over ranked opponents.
For different teams, too. Not like twice against St. Mary's, twice against Gonzaga.
Yeah, no. Like four separate ranked opponents.
It had never been 3 different. That had never been done. It had only been 2 different ranked teams in the same season.
Just an historic run for BYU basketball. And there was a lot on the line on Saturday night to lock up that number 5 positions. But now officially BYU finishes, courtesy of a tiebreak, ahead of Kansas.
That win was huge for that reason, too. Like, think about it. If BYU doesn't pull off its best win of the season at Kansas, it's the 6 instead of the 5.
Yeah.
Like, that was needed. Granted, if you're on the other side of the bracket there, it's not the worst thing in the world. You're playing teams that you've already beaten, if it's West Virginia. Like, Cincinnati's already beaten you. But if you were the 6, you'd play Cincinnati, West Virginia. Then you'd play Baylor. You've split with Baylor. You've beaten them. And then you would play Iowa State. You've beaten them. You probably should have beat them twice. Mm. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But we'll talk about the bracket in a second.
Yeah.
But
we'll
being
13th. We'll assess the run.
Being 13th. Listen, on Big 12 Basketball Media Day, we were in Kansas City. And we were talking to Mark Pope about being picked 13th. And here's what he said.
I'm personally super hyped about that. You know, I have 4 daughters, and I was one of the fans that was wearing a 13 tattoo on my hand at the Taylor Swift concert. It's her lucky number, and I dig the whole thing, man.
Let's go!
Shout out to Taylor Swift. If we're going to be picked something that's not number 1, I would prefer 13 because there's a lot of juice with that.
Listen, there's something about Taylor Swift in Kansas City specifically.
Oh,
Gerald.
Look at you.
Okay.
I thought we were done with Taylor Swift stuff.
No.
But we've had gymnastics night, you know, with the Eras Tour, and it continues. But, yeah, in Kansas City. Yeah. She going to the WC?
It's interesting that Mark Pope would reference Taylor Swift in Kansas City as being picked 13th, and then, voila, special finish. BYU goes number 5. The Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Yeah, I hear Andy Reid might be on the show soon this week. Let's go, man. Like, it's Kansas City.
Is it tomorrow?
All
tomorrow,
around.
Right?
Yeah. This is great stuff. I love Mark's sense of humor and the way that he approaches things. It was such a tough scenario, but expected coming off of what BYU did in the last 2 seasons of the West Coast Conference to be near the bottom of the Big 12. Like, nobody was surprised by that.
Top 5 suddenly.
Everybody is surprised by what BYU did. Yeah. Everybody. Fran Fraschilla last week. You know, Houston, we knew it was going to be great. BYU is the, quote, icing on the cake.
Look at the jumps here. +8, dude. Texas Tech, way better than
people
thought,
too. Iowa State, +5.
Iowa State, the most impressive team, given that they finished in 2nd, right? BYU right there. Texas Tech right there. Pretty impressive stuff. Kansas State down. Right, Kansas obviously down. They were the preseason pick to win it. West Virginia and even Oklahoma State were worse than people thought, right? Cincinnati was the only team picked perfectly. That was it, 11th.
Unbelievable that BYU now, along with Texas Tech, 2 of the big jumpers compared to where they were picked to finish in the projected
terrible
poll.
Movie with Hayden Christensen. Did you watch that one?
Jumpers?
Jumper.
No.
It was awful.
I have not seen it.
Don't watch it. If you've seen it, you know it's bad. Yeah, it's terrible, right? Yeah, it's so bad.
Oh, Anakin Skywalker?
Well, no. Hayden Christensen. Wait, looking at the bracket, like, BYU is in a great spot, man. 5 seed, you beat OSU or UCF. It'll be interesting if it's Oklahoma State, right? Playing them back-to-back games. It wouldn't be for Oklahoma State.
Do BYU fans want Oklahoma State again?
Discuss that tomorrow.
Yeah, I would think the answer to that initially is yes. Yeah. But, I mean, there are certainly layers there. Which opponent would you prefer between Oklahoma State and UCF?
Oklahoma State to me.
There's the old adage that UCF's it's so too tough to beat a team 3 times. Like, BYU would have to beat UCF a 3rd time if they advance.
UCF just muddies the game up, and it's hard to watch, right?
BYU just beat Oklahoma State. They got some vengeance, but, who do you want?
It's a team that you've lost to.
You just played them.
Right? That's BYU's worst loss of the season. It's a tough one. Yet, they avenged it, right? And they played well, on Saturday to get the win and whatnot. Nice second half. And then it's Texas Tech. You've wanted Texas Tech, right?
I want it. Yes. BYU, I feel like, has unfinished business there. They only got to play the Red Raiders once. It was on the road. I like the matchup. I think it'd be a super entertaining game. And there's that added – there just is. There's just some added motivation for BYU if they do get another opportunity because, strangely, that's one of the teams in this conference that BYU has not beaten. BYU's beaten a bunch of these teams. And only got one shot at Texas Tech. Now, this would be a second. Yep. go and right the ship and get to Friday. Because, and if BYU can get to Friday, if they win two games in Kansas City, we'll talk about this all week long. What would it mean for potential seeding in the Big Dance? Would BYU be a 4 seed in Salt
Lake
City?
Maybe.
Would they be the highest seed in Salt Lake City?
And, like, would they get to Salt Lake City? Yeah. Well, right now, we would take 5 seed Salt Lake City over 4 seed anywhere else.
100%.
That is the hope. Location, in this case, greater than seed. That's rarely the case. Only Salt Lake would do that. Not even Vegas would do that, I think, right? Where we'd say, oh, we don't even care about the seed. We just want to be in a certain location. Look, it could be Omaha, Pittsburgh, or Charlotte. Joe Lunardi was on the broadcast Saturday and said, in my models, Salt Lake and Pittsburgh are the two that pop up the most, and that the committee would absolutely put BYU in Salt Lake if it works out that way.
Yeah.
So let's go, man. That's exciting.
Especially if BYU has earned that privilege, that right to, because they played so well. Like,
They might have already.
They want to reward teams, and they like regionality anyway, but like they especially want to reward teams that have played well with some regional ties.
They just won 3 of 4. Let's hope they win again, and then if they lose, okay, it's 4 of 6. Like, they're playing well down the stretch, but if they go, you know, 5 of 7 with a second win there or whatever, that'd be great, man. Okay, topic 2. BYU's Jackson Robinson wins Big 12 sixth man
Let's
of
go,
the year.
Jax.
Congratulations. JT texted me at the end of the game saying he's the best sixth man in BYU history. That's saying a lot from one of the best sixth men in BYU history.
Yeah.
Robinson, Dallin Hall, Foose, and Spencer Johnson named all Big 12 honorable mentions. What was your reaction to the individual honors?
Totally deserved for Jackson Robinson. You know, on a few occasions this season, he was asked, hey, do you want to start? Do you want to, like, switch this thing up? And, like, he just kind of he thrived in this role. He was like, nah, I'm good. I'm coming off the bench. And he just such an injection of offense immediately and composure and just a calming presence. I mean, he had so many big shots when BYU needed them. And he made a ton of massive free throws, which I feel like is an underlooked thing in his game. 90% free throw shooter, Jerem.
And in the clutch, he's
so good making clutch free throws. Like, BYU beat Kansas State and UCF late in games because Jackson Robinson just continued to make free throws.
You get the ball in his hands. Like, BYU has a closer from the free throw line for sure.
Yeah.
They're still figuring out, is it Dallin, is it Jax who's taking the last shot? But it's one of those two guys for sure.
No, yeah, so deserved.
I agree with those. Honorable mention, I'm not like a huge fan of honorable mentions. I think it's just a cursory, like, let's just throw the rest of the guys that did. So
is it
it's
that
fine.
Or did somebody vote for them? Like, so by default, they have to be mentioned because they got at least one
is
vote.
Is that how it works?
I believe that's
someone
how it works.
Someone voted you at least third team. You get mentioned in this
space.
Yeah,
you got a mention from somebody.
Sure. That's great. This is nice. I'm not pumping this too much personally. I would have preferred that somebody made the first, second, and third team. But congrats to those guys. It does speak to the team nature of BYU, though, that they were the only team in the top 8 of the standings that didn't have a first, second, or third teamer. That's okay, because BYU is not reliant on a single individual.
BYU is a unique team.
They are a great team. They are top 5 in the country in assists per game. They share the ball. They are super dangerous.
Yeah.
I dare say that while BYU is not one of the top 4 seeds and doesn't have the double bye, that they are one of, if not the most dangerous team in this tournament by perception.
Because
of the win at Kansas and the almost win at Iowa State was a shot across the bow. Do you remember at Texas in 2014 when earlier in the game, Taysom Hill had a super long run for a touchdown, but it came back on a hold by Jordan Leslie? Right then, BYU actually won the game because the Texas crowd was like, oh no, not again. Like, shot fired. And then guess what? It was just poured on and BYU dominated that game. I think the Big 12 is like, BYU is a tough matchup. Oh my gosh, hopefully we don't line up with those guys. Houston probably welcomes whoever, right?
Yeah, whatever. They're a world beater. They won at the Marriott Center.
Yes, but Houston's legit. Like, they're the number one team in the country. They just beat Kansas by 30, by the way. But I'm so excited for this BYU team to go into Kansas City, and let's see what they can do, Doc.
Oh, it begins with either UCF or Oklahoma State. Win Wednesday, get that rematch with Texas Tech, and then potentially climb a seed line in the NCAA tournament positioning.
Come on, baby.
There's a lot on the line.
4 and 5, not a big deal, by the way. You're playing the other in the second round if you win anyway. Probably.
I think perception of the weird 5-12 game kind of factors, like, oh, there's always a 12, beats a 5.
Well, it's like 50% the last X years or whatever. Yeah.
So you wonder, like,
sure.
if a 13 seed is that much more beatable than a 12 seed, I don't know. You're probably splitting hairs.
Apparently,
there,
but no one really cares.
The reception is there.
Well, when Buffalo Wild Wings needs a 12 to win, they get it. They just push a button, I guess.
Our question of the day, playing into BYU's fifth seed in the Big 12 tournament and a fifth place finish. How would you sum up BYU and their men's basketball first Big 12 regular season in five words or fewer? Okay, so we're asking you to be concise here.
Yeah.
At Logan M9384 on X says, the best season since Jimmer. Well done.
I think it is better than 1920 because you're in the Big 12 and you had some huge wins.
That team wasn't projecting to be a five seed. That team was projecting to be a six seed.
Yeah. Lunardi came out when COVID hit and said they were going to be a six. And that they were probably dropped the line because of Sunday play thing. So we'll see how that factors in. Maybe BYU would be a four, but it didn't work out, and they have to drop to a five. I don't know.
It's like, Spencer, they beat St. Mary's, who was ranked, and Gonzaga, who was number two that year. It's like, oh, well, this
BYU
team.
BYU won at Kansas. They beat Iowa State.
This team had four ranked wins against four different ranked opponents in the regular season.
Yeah, they were
and
awesome,
just
man.
Finished fifth in the Big 12.
Yeah. We're giving the strength of schedule nod to this team quite a bit.
Understandably.
Nolan Mickelson on Facebook. Pope, Coach of the Year.
Ooh.
Now, if Houston had already been in the league and did what they did like a year later, Pope, I think, could have won it.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe Texas Tech because they were picked.
I mean, T.J. Otzelberger has a case, too. His team finished five spots higher than they were projected.
So Pope would have been in the same category as some others of, wow, that was surprising. So I don't know that Pope would have won it, but when Damon Stoudemire won it from Pacific with the same idea, that was annoying, where Pope should have won it that year.
Yes.
In 1920.
Yeah, for sure. Dallin Dromrell on Instagram says, top three BYU season ever.
Okay,
I think we gotta wait a little bit.
Or is it already? Is it already? Like
top five for sure.
Top five for sure.
Three? Ooh, I don't know.
This could be the greatest BYU team ever. Like if they make the Sweet 16, there's an argument there, given Big 12 toughness.
Oh, if they make the Sweet 16, then yes, this becomes a top three BYU season ever. Yes.
I don't know if you like it more than the Jimmer Mania year. And like Elite Eight is the best year. Yeah, that's an interesting combo. We'll get to that. Trust me, we'll have an entire spring summer.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Five words or fewer, how would you sum up BYU's first Big 12 season?
We'll be live from Provo and Kansas City coming up throughout the week, Wednesday through Friday, as we cover the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. It's going to be a fun week of basketball from Missouri.
You know what? We typically welcome in one or two guests. We're going Big Ten today. Four national champions. A quartet of awesomeness again. And guess what? They're from track and field again. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. It's time to welcome in the latest team of national champions at BYU, the Distance Medley Relay National Champions. Congratulations to this quartet of awesomeness. We'll go from left to right. We have Sadie Sargent, Sammy Oblad, Carly Hansen, and Riley Chamberlain with us in the order that they ran the race.
That's how it should be. I like that. That's great.
You're not familiar with the distance medley relay. It starts with the 1200, then it goes to the 400, the 800, and then Riley, you're the anchor leg with the mile. What a race. And just congratulations to all of you. Sadie, we'll start with you on the left side. As the lead, you have to kind of like deal with like the ultimate butterflies of starting this thing off. So what was it like for you going in as the number four ranked team? Mm-hmm. And knowing like, okay, we have a chance to do something special, and how do you handle those butterflies?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of nice for me because it was like a normal race, you know, like I had a starting line, whereas like I didn't have to take the baton from anybody. But yeah, it was very nerve-wracking, I will admit, but it was fun to, you know, like think about them and be like, I know that they're watching me right now and I have to do my job, you know, and then handing the baton to Sammy, I was like, we're good. It's going to be fine.
Is it less nerve-wracking for you because you hand it off, you're like, all right, my job's done.
My job's done.
I can just cheer him up.
Yeah, until then you like are standing there and you're watching the race just like keep going. It was fun.
Okay, Sammy, you get the baton at that point. Mm-hmm. What's the mindset?
Kind of like Sadie said, you have these girls counting on you. So the nerves are there, but they're not as, it's a weird way to say, it's not as much as when you're alone because you have this other support system behind you. So I don't know, it felt good to go into it and know, okay, I'm doing this for these girls.
When you received the baton, did you feel like we're in a good position?
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember a lot of it, if I'm being honest.
You do run the 400, which is just like the worst race ever, in my opinion. Like, it is so difficult.
I don't know. I'm glad I don't run a 1,200 or a mile. So it worked out well for me.
That's awesome.
All right, Carly, leg number three. You've watched the first two go. Like, what is your mindset? Like, how much are you processing? Okay, this is where we are. I've got to do this maybe to put us in a chance to win. Like, what's going on in your mind there?
Well, for the race, I feel like largely it was just managing the chaos more than it was actually paying attention to where we were. Because if I'm going to be honest, I didn't really know where we were just because it was so chaotic.
Yeah.
Three girls fell in the middle of the race. Oh. It was like so crazy. And I feel like even just getting the baton, I was like, okay, I know we're probably not in the position we should be in, but like, I just gotta keep going. Like, this is not gonna end well if I don't just put myself out there. So I guess that pressure was on me going into it. And there was this moment when like the girls fell, it was like right in front of me and like the world slowed down, it all stopped. And I was like, okay, like this just happened, this is fine. And then I hear Coach Taylor go, go, go. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to go now.
So did I'm you
like,
pause or something?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were there, like in right in front of me. Yeah, so
she
I like, I jump over them. I was like, we
you
gotta
hurdled.
Do it.
Oh my gosh, that's wild.
So just hearing her say that right next to me kind of gave me the energy to be like, hey, we gotta do this. Like, we can actually do this. So just hearing Coach Taylor and knowing that these girls were counting on me to get the baton to Riley was an exciting moment.
So was she close enough to where you knew distinctly it was her voice, or was somewhere over there and you heard
her?
No,
she was like right next to where it all happened. In fact, I heard her gasp. She's like, and then everyone
was
still.
You heard her gasp. Okay, she was really close.
Yeah, she was. I mean, Coach Taylor's not hard to hear. So.
Yeah, she's got some volume there, which is awesome.
So then after I heard that, it was the go time. So.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's really go time in the last leg here. Walk us through, okay, here we go. I got to run a mile as fast as I possibly can for national title here.
So, yeah, Carly was bringing it in, and the officials weren't great at, like, lining us up. And so it was kind of chaotic. I wasn't exactly where she expected me to be. So she started, like, going to the outside. I was like, Carly, I'm over here. So, like, I got the baton. I was a little worried for a sec just because, like, I don't know, everybody was going. We were a little bit behind because of the fall and everything. But then, like, I got the baton, and the number one ranked miler was right in front of me. And I was like, okay, if I follow her, she'll get me in front. So I just like took off, stuck on her the whole way until, yeah.
Okay, so at what point are you like, I'm going to pass her. I'm going to overtake this number one ranked mile.
About 200 meters to go. I like, with 600, I was like, she's not dropping me. I'm still here. Like, I think I might be able to do it. And then 200 to go, I was like, okay, slam the door so she doesn't expect it. Like, take off.
And what's that moment like when you kind of realize, oh, we just won the national title here?
I was just so excited. Like, I was thinking about Sadie. It's her last year. Just like bringing it for all these women here and like the locker room back home and Coach Taylor. I was just thinking about everybody. I was like, this isn't like, it's not just like a win for me. It's a win for like our team, everybody. Everybody's been working so hard. I just had the baton on the last leg.
And it's cool because Dilji was just mildly excited, just a little excited, as we showed in the photo a moment ago.
Her emotions were actually louder than her pants.
Which we'll talk about in a second. And you had a cool, there it is. And you had a great interaction, I think, with Courtney Wayman.
I did.
Who was there as well.
Yeah, it was so awesome to have Court there. She was just like, she's like, do you guys understand like what you just did? And I was like, not right now. Like, it was just so surreal because like, I don't know. It doesn't happen every day. Like, we were like, we knew we could like at least be like top three, but like to actually put it together and have it happen, it was just so cool.
It's hard to have a conversation when you've just run that race, right? Especially John is the last leg.
John Anderson's coming over and like, all right,
give me 30 seconds to catch my breath and not pass out.
Yeah, it's the heaviest breathing interviews ever is track and field right after. But for any of you, what have you been able to kind of internalize over the weekend now that you're back? And I know you guys caught like a super early flight and you're probably still tired, right?
And daylight savings.
Yeah, and daylight savings didn't help. What's been kind of some of the thoughts now that you have won it, of like what this means to you personally or for the program, as Riley mentioned?
I think Ryan and I were talking, we were roommates this weekend, it was awesome. We were talking before the race and we're like, you know what, we want to give our team, give our locker room something to celebrate. You know, like, it's always fun when you're like watching the race and you're like, oh my gosh, we have like somebody's in here like fighting for it, you know? So that's really what we wanted to do. We just like talked about how it's much, much bigger than just us four. You know, we have like our team and then our support system and Coach Taylor, of course. Like, we wanted to give people something to celebrate.
Isn't that great about sports?
Yes.
It's more than you.
Yeah.
You plug into a program, a system, Run for Her, coach that has built this, the alumni who were there celebrating, the alumni that celebrated with you on social and threat. Like,
yeah.
That's why I love sports, man. That's why I love sports. Any other thoughts on kind of what it has meant over the weekend for you guys?
I feel like for me, coming from a point of transferring from another school, coming here, and it's hard when you have so much doubt about where you want to be, where you need to be. And to me, this is just a very special moment to be like, this is a reality, like this can happen. And after talking with like my loved ones, I felt inspired to be like, hey, like get after your dreams. I've realized like how close it is to do something fantastic and amazing, and it's just within a grasp. So I really felt inspired to be like, hey, like get after your dreams. They seem far away. For me, going to another school, it was like, I don't feel like I am even nowhere close to even making it to the national meet, let alone winning. And when you experience this, it was like, oh my gosh, like this is exactly like what people need to hear, is like they can be inspired to go out and get their dreams, and that it's not just feels like miles and miles away. It's really,
you can do it.
Within the grasp. So, yeah.
Well said. Love that motivation. Running by nature, I mean, the sport, the training, it's just so unseen in large part by mass media, right? Like, but at BYU, like, thankfully we have BYU Sports Nation, and so we love to like cast the spotlight on
this
you.
It's a running school. We've said that a million times.
But you have earned this. But like, you have to work so hard to get to a moment like that where you are seen and you are heard, and the spotlight is bright. It's so many miles, hundreds of miles of running to get there that nobody sees. So, Sammy, for you, what was that like, knowing like, my gosh, we've trained forever for this. Like, and it's so hard. And I'm sure you feel like just terrible on some days. You're like, I don't feel like training, but we're going to go do it anyway. You do it. So to have it culminate in this, what did that mean?
I liked what Sadie said, that it meant a lot more for the team too, like as a whole. So I felt like I was representing all the sprinters of BYU, all the girls that I train with and I work with. And it was a big deal to have that on my back of, okay, these are the girls that I love and that love me. And I don't know, kind of have it all brought forward in something that the team comes together in. We had our distance runners and sprinters together. I think that was pretty powerful.
And the person leading the charge there is Coach Taylor. She wears these pants that have faces on them. Tell us about the pants and what you thought about the pants. Yeah. And on the back of it says, watch women's sports, by the way. Spencer and I call all the women's games here at BYU. We are on board with that message. What did you guys think? We'll start with you, Riley, of the pants.
Well, she was talking about her outfit because we always know she's going to show up for NCAAs. Like, trying to guess what it's going to be. And, like, when we finally got to see it before she took Carmen to go run the mile prelims, we were just like, oh, crap, we better show up today. We can't make her look like a fool. Yeah, Coach Taylor always has style, and I think it was Trey Stewart that designed the pants.
Did he really? We were wondering
I think he designed the whole sweatsuit.
That's amazing.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. I asked the question this morning, kind of like half-joking, like, hey, did Trey do that?
Yeah.
And he did.
Of course he did. Trey is the ultimate seamstress. What is it? Seamstress? Yeah. Is that what it is for a man? I don't know.
Clothing designer.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He is awesome. That's incredible. Well, congratulations on the national title.
Thank you.
Where is the trophy,
so
by the way?
The trophies, I guess, right?
We have trophies.
You all have individual trophies.
Yeah. Gotcha. You can take them home. You don't have to give them back to the school.
No.
I'm assuming the school gets one to put it again. Nice.
No, Spencer, you idiot. I want to keep it. Oh, so well deserved. Congratulations on a national championship and just another accolade for a program that is at the peak of its game.
On to outdoors, baby.
Thank you.
Let's go.
Yeah, well done. Great to have you with us.
Okay, coming up on BYU Sports Nation tomorrow, Andy Reid, Super Bowl champion, will join the program. It was fun to talk to him last year on the show.
Oh, yeah.
The irony is, I'll be on my way to Kansas City, but I'm actually going to go see Andy in person tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you talk to him in the morning.
There you go.
And I'll talk to him in the afternoon.
Go hang out with him in Kansas City.
That'll be awesome.
Coach Reid, back on the show after another Super Bowl championship. Up next, a million-dollar NIL basketball tournament has come to the surface.
Sorry, what?
A clutch grand slam and maybe the best concession snack promotional video of all time.
Cougartail Kid.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out a busy Monday's worth of headlines.
Number 20 men's basketball beats Oklahoma State 85-71 cover in the regular season finale. Cougars shot 69% from the field in the second half. Foose had 19, Jackson Robinson 17, Spencer Johnson 14 points, 10 rebound double-double. BYU finishes the year 22-9, 10-8 in the Big 12, and a tie for fifth. Won the tiebreaker. Don't know if you heard. BYU won at Kansas. That surely helped. Cougars are the 5 seed in Kansas City, playing Wednesday against the winner of UCF and Oklahoma State. Not bad for the 13th pick in the preseason poll.
Of note, don't look Foose in the eyes and then challenge him at the rim.
That's coming up, dude. We'll play the soundbite. It's so good.
BYU's Jackson Robinson wins Big 12 Sixth Man of the Year. That yes. announced yesterday by the conference. Robinson leading BYU in scoring this season, averaged just under 14 points a game. Robinson, Dallin Hall, Foose Traore, and Spencer Johnson all named all Big 12 honorable mentions.
Women's basketball lost to Kansas 77-53 in the second round of the Big 12 tournament. Cougars scored 20 points in the second half. Kaylee Wolston left the game with a knee injury at the end of the first quarter.
Brutal.
BYU's hoping to continue to have postseason play in either the new WBIT or the longstanding WNIT.
BYU track and field competing at the NCAA Indoor National Championships in Boston over the weekend, highlighted by the team you just heard from on BYUSN, the women's distance medley relay team of Sadie Sargent, Sammy Oblad, Carly Hansen, and Riley Chamberlain winning the national championship.
Yeah.
All first-team All-Americans and leading BYU's women's team to a seventh-place finish overall. That's quite an accomplishment. BYU's Lexi Halliday-Lowry, Megan Hunter, and Lucas Bonds also earned first-team All-Americans, and 9 other Cougars earned second-team All-American
well
nods.
Done. Lots of medals coming home. Number 6, men's volleyball split road games at number 7, Stanford over the weekend, winning in 5 on Friday night, 18-16, and being swept on Saturday. BYU 11-7, 2-4 in MPSF play. They have a bye again this week, then they play at Pepperdine.
BYU softball, they didn't get swept at home, and it took a lot, but they found a way to bounce back for a 10-8 win on Saturday after losing on Friday 15-0. In Saturday's contest, with the game tied 6-6 in the sixth inning, bases loaded, BYU sophomore Maddie Udall broke the tie in dramatic fashion.
Another 2-2. Udall, pop fly, left center field, fading back at the wall, gone! Grand slam!
Maddie Udall made it 10-6.
Nice call, dude.
Well, what's funny is when it came off the bat because she golfed it, and the wind was blowing a little bit, but I was like, okay, so it's a pop fly.
Yeah.
But it just kind of like just kept carrying. And I was like,
we
oh
don't
my
know
gosh.
If no one's it's a
that,
homer.
That might go out.
You don't watch the ball either. You just watch the outfielder.
Wow.
See where they're going, right?
What a moment. BYU now 15-6. That's their first ever Big 12 win, by the way. The awesome. Cougars were back in action tonight against UVU at 6 Eastern at Miller Park.
Baseball split, Friday's doubleheader at West Virginia, winning game 1 4-1. They lost game 2 2-0. BYU's win, Bryce Robinson, 6 1/3. Innings pitched, gave up just 1 earned run, struck out 4. With the split, BYU 7-7 on the year, 1-2 in the Big 12. Tomorrow, the Cougars play at Utah.
BYU Gymnastics scoring a 196.450 on Friday night, highlighted by freshman Brinley Anderson on the beam. Once again, 9.975. Wow.
Another judge gave her a 10 and the other did not.
Come on.
Yeah.
Two judges need to collaborate on this. Give her 10s.
Mean queen.
Feels like it's inevitable at this point. She's so young in her career.
Yep.
Cougars head to Seattle for a quad meeting at Sacramento State, Southern Utah, and Washington this Friday.
Women's tennis six-game win streak was snapped Saturday against number one Oklahoma State. We'll give you women's tennis. BYU got men's basketball.
Sure.
They're now 11-2 overall, 3-1 in the Big 12. Having a great season. Men's tennis team won their 10th straight. Beat Air Force 5-2. Now one win shy of tying the program record of 11 set in 2018-19.
Those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. Cougar Whip Around presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Do you expect women's hoops to get an invite to the new WBIT?
I do, because they play in one of the tougher basketball conferences in America now. The WNIT used to be 64, but it's now the WBIT is only 32 teams, and that's the second best tournament behind the Big Dance. I believe that BYU has enough on the resume to get that. And again, conference affiliation matters. So I think they will.
I can report that the WBIT did reach out to BYU recently to see if they're still wanting to be in that tournament. So that's a good sign. Perhaps they get the invite. By the way, Selection Sunday for the men and women for all those tournaments is Sunday.
Yeah.
As opposed to Monday, it used to be for the women.
Reported over the weekend, how about this? There are talks of a NIL basketball multi-team event that will take place next season featuring eight teams where each team gets $1 million to split between the players and an additional million going to the winning team. Whoa, pay for play. Do you like the idea?
The idea is interesting. Will the NCAA tournament have to become something like this? If a tournament like this in season will affect that? Will the teams and the players demand that they need to be paid more of the giant TV money in the NCAA tournament at some point?
What the heck is the NCAA going to do if that gets like steam and
well, there are court cases out there, right,
movement.
That may dictate some of that, right? With 20 seconds to go, Oklahoma State's Justin McBride tried to dunk on Foose. Foose blocked it, but he was called for a foul. Here's Foose talking to you about that final play. Fantastic.
And I was actually super interested, you know, because the guy actually looked into my eyes, you know. And I saw, you're actually going to come down. I said, okay, let's get it, you know. And I just went and blocked him, and the ref called a foul, you know. So I was a little frustrated about that, you know.
Yeah.
He actually looked into my eyes, you know. I said, oh, I'm going to come dunk on you, you know. I said, okay, cool.
Is that the soundbite of the season?
Yeah,
somewhere?
That's a lot to interpret there, just with a look in the eyes. I'm going to come dunk on you. Okay, cool.
Let's get it. I love that from Foose. He's like the nicest dude ever, but do not yam on him in his
it's
house.
It's one of the soundbites of the year for
By the
sure
way,
from
if
basketball.
This were the NBA, they would have challenged it and won it. That was a block, dude.
That was a block.
That
and
was
no wonder
a block.
He was frustrated and got the tech.
Yeah.
I would have been frustrated too. Hey, the Cougar Tail is celebrating its 20th birthday. BYU posted this video to showcase it, featuring, of course, the Cougar Tail Kid. Is this the greatest promotional video for a concession snack of all time?
Well, given the parameters you just laid out, I can't name another. But yeah, Cougar Tail Kid, 360, let's go. This kid is, he's in blue, and he looks good in blue. I like it.
Fans went nuts when they saw this kid pop up in the promotional video when they played it in the Marriott Center on Saturday
night. Jackson Payne, by the way, of the Universe, or Des News now, sorry. He tweeted a picture of Cougar Tail Kid and Richie Saunders and said, the two breakout stars of the season. It's so true.
He's like a folk legend now.
Yes, he is.
Up next, let's recap some more BYU men's basketball with assistant coach Cody Feger.
Yeah, baby.
Joins us to give his thoughts on what BYU accomplished in the regular season. And how does he feel about the matchup potentials in Kansas City? Stay with us.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back courtside one final time inside the Marriott Center.
Three-pointer, got it!
Mel down floor, Robinson at the rim, up and in! 8 feet, little bobble, scoops and scores, and the foul! Cougars will bounce it out, 85-71 is going to be your final score.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. Joining us now to recap Saturday night and, frankly, the whole regular season and push ahead to Kansas City is BYU men's basketball assistant coach Cody Feger. Coach, I know there's still a lot of work to do. You're very excited about what lies ahead. But we're taking a moment here on this Monday, if you'll allow us to just kind of revel in what an amazing regular season that was. You've had the weekend to think about it. Now that you're the 5 seed, which is what, picked to finish 13th, what do you think about the 8 spot jump and what you've accomplished in the regular season?
In the regular season, we're really happy with how hard our guys played and how bad they wanted it. And we wish you know, you always think of the what ifs, right, for us. But we're really happy with these guys coming together the way they did, believing in each other, and just everyone kind of sacrificing for each other to make sure we could do the best we could out there.
You're 12-1 in non-conference play. You're number two in net when things start. And then you get into Big 12 play. You go 0-2 and 2-4. What did it take for this team to find itself and finish in fifth place?
Really, I think it was just kind of believing in each other and playing for each other. That's what this team is. They're so connected. And, you know, we had a couple games where we were really rocky offensively to start. And our guys just kind of believed in what we were doing and, you know, keep believing in each other. We went through injury, sickness, all the different things. But we kind of just stuck together and really connected. Trusted all our work in the off season, and kind of put this thing together.
How do you feel about where you line up in the Big 12 postseason tournament bracket? As the 5 seed, you get either UCF or Oklahoma State, the winner of that game on Tuesday. You'll play them Wednesday morning, and then you win that game, you get another crack at Texas Tech on Thursday. How do you feel about how it shapes up?
I mean, yeah, you know, judging, like you guys talked about, you know, you had the weekend kind of think about it. Not really. You know, I was thinking about UCF and Oklahoma State, to tell you the truth. But, you know, it's a team that both these teams we know really well. Obviously, we played both teams twice, so we have a great feel for that. And we, you know, obviously we're going to take care of first things first with this game. And then, you know, we see that we're ready to go with this Texas Tech team after we, you know, take care of business here.
There's some revenge there, certainly in order. And Spence has talked to some of the players who are like, yeah, we would like that if we get there, right? In terms of this group and figuring things out and maneuvering things throughout the season, you talked about the injuries and illness and whatnot. How do you feel about where this team is now versus earlier in the season in terms of knowing who you are, what you do well, and accentuating that to pull off a win at Kansas and nearly beating Iowa State?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you're going to, we're just more battle-tested, and we know what's going to work. And we know offensively when we protect this ball, man, we can score against anyone. And we're one of the best teams in the country when we protect this ball. So we know how important that is. And then defensively, when we are there on the catch and you know, being decisive defensively and hitting first on every, you know, rebound, we know we're pretty stinking good, you know. We're just really battle-tested, and I think our guys really believe in what we know it works.
Do you feel like, in terms of that, heading to this tournament and the NCAA tournament, because I've said, I don't think any BYU team has ever been as sort of experienced and hardened in this way than this BYU team, because they've never had to play in a league like this. Do you feel more ready for the next two tournaments you're in than the previous teams you've had because of the strength of schedule?
Yeah, I would say we are there. You know, we feel that. You know, like you said, we've gone into every environment. We've gone against every defense. We've seen it all right now. And, like, our guys are so locked in. We already just watched film this morning. I mean, there's not too much to say other than, like, I feel like this team's ready to go. I mean, obviously you can tell I'm a little amped up, ready to go too.
I know. You haven't really smiled here. I think you're in game mode right now. Yeah. You're like, are we playing this afternoon or what? And which, by the way, that game is very early. How does that sort of change things? 11:30 a.m. Central Time, which, by the way, is right in the middle of this program. Coming up Wednesday.
Yeah, so usually we go 2 o'clock every day. You know, and this morning we met at, you know, 10:15, about 30 minutes ago, watch film. We have our little break, and then we're going to practice right now at 11:10 a.m.
So
we're practicing
this morning.
So this is all
intentional?
Yeah, all of it is intentional. And then tomorrow morning we're going to be practicing during our game time. So we're just putting it out there and, you know, giving ourselves our best chance.
Okay, so it's official. Between 10:40 a.m. Mountain Time and 11:10 a.m. Mountain Time, you're allowed to smile. But no, after that, lock it in.
Let's go. Got a game to win.
Cody Feger is with us on BYU Sports Station. We have to ask you about Jackson Robinson being the Big 12 Sixth Man of the Year. He had some options, Cody. Like, he was so good that he probably could have pushed his way into a starting role and had conversations with the coach staff about that. Said, okay, I'm good. I'm good doing what I'm doing. What do you think about his role and his unselfish approach to this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is, right? Just him being unselfish, and that embodies our entire team. By Jackson Robinson saying, hey, I'm good with where do you guys want me? I'll play wherever, I'll do it whatever it takes for this team to win. And that kind of just, pours out to everybody else on this team, everybody else on this roster with Trevin Nell. I mean, we've got eight guys that put up 20 points in a game. Like, we've got eight guys that can do it, right?
So one of like three or four teams in the country, I think, right, Tyson?
Three
teams that have that depth.
Yeah, that capability. Yeah, so yeah. That's what this team is, man. It's a special group, and it's really been a special year. And, you know, like you guys said, we're not done yet.
There are three players who are Muslim who are observing Ramadan right now. One of those, in Ali Khalifa, is choosing to fast during the day.
Yep.
No food, no water. How do you guys help in that process? Because certainly that's a unique challenge this week.
Yeah, this is something that we've kind of been talking about for 3 months already. So we've got a plan in place that we're going to, you know, he's going to have people knocking on his door, bringing him food at 5:30 in the morning or whatever it is, and pre-sunrise,
right. Yep.
and making sure he's good to go. And yeah, we've kind of all planned up, and I don't know the ins and outs of all of it, but we talked a little bit about it this morning that he's going to have breakfast delivered to him 5:30 in the morning. And
there you go.
He'll be ready to go.
I love that. Just the attention to detail. And I know Coach Pope talked about the uniqueness of that. But that's just kind of like what this team is. Like, it's such an eclectic group of personalities from all different backdrops and different countries all over the world. I go back to the trip to, internationally speaking, Italy, Cody. And I just can't help but think, man, like, if we could do that every year, that would be amazing. But such an instrumental thing for this team to do, like, as you look back on that, how influential was that on what this team was this season?
Oh, I think that was huge. Just to get to know each other off the court for 10 straight days, right? It was absolutely incredible. Guys spending time, just learning everything about everybody, right? It was huge. Like you said, I wish we could do it every year, especially with the transfer portal and how all this stuff's going nowadays. It would really be able to helpful for our team here at BYU, getting to know each other and, you know, what matters to Foose, what matters to Atiki, what matters to all our guys. And that Europe trip, we played some really good teams over there, really good teams. And after that, we kind of felt like, oh, man, we got some toughness. We got some resiliency. We got a chance to be pretty good this year.
The Krešimir Ćosić vibe of that was pretty cool, too, preseason. I know you guys can't control this, but oh my gosh, if you play in Salt Lake City, it would be the best thing ever, would it not?
It'd be pretty cool.
That opportunity
is
there.
I mean, to play here, where our guys have a great feel, and you know, but you know, like we talked about, we're ready to play wherever, we're ready to go wherever. We've been battle tested. Our guys are ready to fight, ready to battle. But yeah, it'd be pretty sweet to be back here in Salt Lake.
Cougar Nation would stuff that place. It would be amazing.
They have this way of finding tickets.
Yeah.
Ask Kansas about this,
it's
right?
It's called StubHub. Yeah. SeatGeek.
They will pay whatever and be there. Cody, congratulations on a great regular season. Let's give you some karma for the Big 12 tournament this week. Jeremy will be there early with you. I'll just plan on seeing you Friday, okay, bro?
I like it.
All right.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm going to join you on Friday.
Okay, number 20 men's basketball playing the winner of UCF and Oklahoma State. Could be back-to-back games for the Cougars against Oklahoma State. We'll see. Coming up Wednesday, pregame coverage on BYU Radio at 11:30 Eastern AM.
Be ready. How would you sum up BYU men's basketball and the first Big 12 regular season? More responses from all of you after the break. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. How would you sum up BYU men's basketball in their first Big 12 regular season because of the 5 seed? In 5 words or fewer, Luke Castleberry on Facebook says, preseason 13, season end 5.
Very nice.
Pretty much sums it up.
Very nice, but it's not the elite voice of the day, but it's pretty nice.
All right, our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from Oliver Amu, who answers on Facebook in 5 words. BYU definitely belongs in, and then he's used Big 12
as one
word.
Yeah, very nice. Way to milk it. I like that. Way to get you 2 feet down.
Okay. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about the Distance Medley Relay National Championship team, as we mentioned? And it was fun talking to him. Sadie Sargent, Sammy Oblad, Carly Hansen, Riley Chamberlain. BYU's first national championship as a Big 12 team. pretty cool.
Oh, it was great to have them in here, and they're just it continues to be like just the most humble teams ever. Like,
yes, and they continue to be great, like truly great. And honestly, the best programs at BYU right now are men and women's cross country.
They are the ones that have the most recent national championships.
Yep, they're doing great.
Our thanks to today's guests, speaking of Sadie Sargent, Sammy Oblad, Carly Hansen, Riley Chamberlain, and BYU men's basketball assistant coach Cody Feger.
Sorry to Dennis. I know you won a Super Bowl, but you did not win a national championship.
For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Roland Minson and his family. Now that's Roland Minson basketball.
Nice, dude.
See you tomorrow. Jerem's going to Kansas City. Go Cougs.
Bye.